Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Side League. Use the promo code REDROCK and get yourself a free deposit bonus. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at REDROCK_BBall. The Facebook address is facebook.com/RedRockBasketball. And there's always the email address, redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Well, the playoffs took an interesting turn today. We have both series that are on today evened up at one game apiece. The Washington and Atlanta game we'll look at first. That was a weird one. We saw when I did the podcast yesterday talking about it, John Wall. Yeah, he's going to play. John Wall's going to play. All reports through the day, John Wall's going to play. John Wall's going to play. Next minute, John Wall's not playing. So hopefully you guys are able to get that information before your lineups lock for daily fantasy. And Ramon Sessions then became an awesome play at his really, really extremely cheap salary. He played 40 minutes, 21 points with 3 threes, 4 assists and a steal. So he definitely outplayed that. Salary that he had there. We saw Brad Beal go big again, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists and 3 steals. Otto Porter, he's just, I don't know what to say about Otto Porter. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 threes, 31 minutes. I don't know why he wasn't doing this all season. Well, no, that's not true. I don't know why he wasn't given the opportunity to do this all season, because basically whenever he got the minutes during the season, he put up numbers probably not to this level, and he didn't play quite this well, but he played well enough where I was calling for him to continually get minutes instead of the garbage like Rasul Butler and Garrett Temple. And Garrett Temple came back into action today, played 13 minutes with Wall out. He hadn't played for 2 months. We didn't even see Rasul Butler here. I don't know why Porter was so limited in the regular season. For now, he's a must-play daily fantasy guy pretty much every day the Wizards play until his salary rises up, because he's getting a ton of minutes and he's putting up a ton of production. Paul Pierce was great. He hit 5 triples for 15 points with 5 rebounds. And Marcin Gortat was a little bit quiet, just 10-9 in his 32 minutes. The rest of the bench, they didn't really matter. For the Hawks, they got the big victory. Everything was tilted in their favor with John Wall going out, but they took advantage of it. And you have to take advantage of it when you're given a situation like that. You can't sort of allow it you can't waste that sort of opportunity like the Rockets did in game one with no Chris Paul. At least the Hawks did what they needed to do, and they comfortably beat the Wizards. We saw big games from, you know, the most likely sources. Al Horford with 18, 4, and 6, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Big game. Kyle Korver hit 4 triples for 12 points with 3 blocks. He's been having some huge block games. It's really weird to see it, but he's done it pretty consistently throughout the season. In the playoffs, he stepped it up another gear. But my boy Damari Carroll, I keep saying it, he's not going to continue to score 20 points a game. Apparently he is. He scored another 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a 3. He is just playing unbelievably. Now, I had Dean Vasek mention that to me today on Twitter. You know, just laughing at me, saying he can't possibly score 20 again. And of course he did. And then he threw out it wasn't him actually, it was Matt Smith that threw out the hashtag contract year, which brings me to something interesting, because I know a lot of people talk contract year, and it's fair enough for some people, but I remember writing an article this preseason, and it's not a thing. I know it is a thing, but it's also not a thing, if that makes any sense. So last season, Kyle Lowry, yeah, contract year. Trevor Ariza, contract year. They had big seasons. Well, Trevor Ariza was a fantastic fantasy player this year. So was Kyle Lowry. Not everybody gets a contract year bump. Some people do. Some people become absolute turds, like Rajon Rondo, Robin Lopez. They were playing for contracts. They're in contract seasons, and they did nothing. Like, nothing. They cost themselves that much money. It's not funny. So contract year is something where I think we see the examples of when it happens, when we see Trevor Ariza go from a guy who does nothing to having a massive season in his last year in Washington and go, contract year. You know, Kyle Lowry being a 70-ranked fantasy guy, then becoming a top 20 player with a tremendous season in 2013-14 for Toronto, and go, contract year. But we also then don't look at the ones where it doesn't happen, like Rondo this season, like Robin Lopez. I haven't gone through the numbers, but the study that I did in the offseason showed it was probably less than half of people playing for a contract actually had a demonstrably larger impact in that season where they're looking for a contract. So it's something which can be used, I think, by people like selectively. Oh, he's playing for a contract, big season, but then they ignore the people who play for a contract who don't have a big season. So it's definitely not something that you can use in fantasy. I don't think there's any way that you can go, this guy's in a contract season, we need to make sure we're getting him big, you know, drafting him earlier because he's going to break out, because it doesn't happen. Carlos Boozer was in a contract year this year. Jeremy Lin was in a contract year. And even when they were given the chance, they didn't do anything. It's something that when it happens, it gets publicized a lot. When it doesn't get publicized. So I think everyone should just keep that in the back of their mind. But that was my Damari Carroll spiel. But regardless, contract year or not, he has just been unbelievable in the playoffs. He's been so, so important. He was great during the season, but he didn't score 20 points in 6 straight games, which he's done now. Jeff Teague couldn't score again. 3 of 12 for 9 points, but 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and a steal is helpful. And my pick last night of throwing a $2,000 Kent Bazemore into a lineup, I think it paid off. 10 points he had, 2 threes, 1 assist, 1 block. That equates to a fairly decent daily fantasy payout at only 2 grand. Definitely returned his value. Paul Millsap, 18 and 11. Not much else off the bench. Dennis Schroeder's not doing a huge amount. 15 minutes for him, 9, 5, and 4. Now, the second game, the Grizzlies with the upset victory. Now, not only has Golden State not lost in the playoffs, they've barely lost at home all season. The Grizzlies get one on the road with Mike Conley coming back and him being amazing, really. 22 points. He shot the ball well, 8 of 12. He had 3 assists and 3 threes, so not a great all-round line, but a big, big night from him to get the Grizzlies over the line by 7 points in the end. Zach Randolph, 27 and 4. He's been a lot better against Golden State than he was in the first round against Portland. And Tony Allen getting some big numbers too. 9 points, but 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals and a block. And his low salary makes him still a worthwhile option. Courtney Lee scored another 15 points. Much like Damari Carroll, I don't know how often this is going to continue, but he's getting used a lot. He's getting a lot more playing time than, say, Jeff Green and Vince Carter. Another 15 points for him. He is a cheap guy, so maybe we do have to consider starting to use him a little bit more. Their bench, not much to look at, though, for the Grizzlies. Udrih had 4 points in 21 minutes. Nick Kolathis did not even see the court with Mike Conley back. Vince Carter had 2 points and 7 rebounds in his 18 minutes, but at his really low salary, that's not a horrible performance from him either. For the Warriors, there's just nothing too exciting. A double-double from Draymond, 14 and 12. Steph Curry, 19, 5 and 6. Klay, 13, 4 and 2. Harrison Barnes, 11 and 4. Harrison Barnes is probably the best performer in terms of his daily fantasy value compared with salary. And Andrew Bogut was pretty good as well, 8 and 12 with a steal and a block. They're all going to bounce back from that. I don't think we need to get too down on the Warriors for this performance. You think that things will turn around from a daily fantasy perspective and for them getting back on track, but it definitely livens this series up a bit after the first game, just looking like, okay, the Warriors, you know, maybe they're going to sweep again, especially if Conley didn't play, but he was back and it made a big difference. So now it's going to be interesting to see how it goes when they travel back to Memphis. Going to be a real, real interesting series now, hopefully. Let's stop looking at what did happen and let's look to what may happen. Yeah, hopefully happens. Chicago and Cleveland going on Wednesday. The Cavs are favored by 6. It's a low total, 194.5. Derrick Rose did have a sore shoulder. He's going to play, though. Well, you know what? John Wall was going to play yesterday, then he didn't. So we think Derrick Rose is going to play. Someone who definitely isn't going to play is J.R. Smith, serving the second game of his suspension. So Bulls Cavs, Mike Dunleavy at 4,200. He was great in the first game of this series. He is averaging over 20 fantasy points at only 4,200 with the Cavs thin on the wing. He may get another option to put up a decent performance. We're going to have Iman Shumpert either going to have to go to Jimmy Butler or Mike Dunleavy. So someone's going to get lost in the mix and they're going to be stuck with James Jones or Mike Miller on them. And that's likely going to be Dunleavy. So I like that in terms of a defensive matchup for him. Kyrie at 10,000. His price has risen. I think that it's still a reasonable price. It's a little bit of a gamble. He's only averaging 39 points. For him to get close to his value, he probably needs to drop a 50-point game. Now, it is possible, and you'd think that the Cavs would want to bounce back after a disappointing game one, but it's not without risk throwing in Kyrie at 10,000. Taj Gibson at 4,000. We heard the news from Tom Thibodeau today that Nikola Mirotic is going to be considered a situational player, so you'd have to bank on Gibson getting more minutes than Mirotic throughout this series. At 4,000, averaging 19 points, I think he's an okay guy to look at. Definitely be looking at him over Mirotic. Derrick Rose at 8,100, his price has gone up. But I still think that's it's not a terrible price for him. He's averaging 33. He was great in game one. The only problem is we saw some stats come out about Derrick Rose's performances in games where he's had 2 games rest or two days rest or 1 day rest. This is a 1 day rest sort of situation for Rose here. So maybe we fade him in this sort of situation in case that's the case. Coming in with a sore shoulder, limited rest, maybe he's not quite as good. We go with some other options at point guard instead. Tristan Thompson at 5,300. He's going to get more minutes with Love out. I like that one. LeBron, 11,500. He's averaging 50 points. If he gets you 50 points, it's not enough at that salary. You want him to do more. So I would rather go with guys. I'd rather throw in Kyrie at 10,000 than LeBron at 11,500. I think that's a better option. Pau Gasol at 8,500. Again, he's been great, but he hasn't been dominant to the level where you go, yeah, that's enough for me at that salary. Averaging 40 at 8,500, you want him to get a 45, which is definitely possible, but remember, his highest score in the playoffs has only been 47. So I wouldn't be throwing too many eggs in the Pau Gasol basket. Now, Jimmy Butler has averaged the exact same throughout the playoffs. You have to pay $400 more for Jimmy Butler. It depends if you're going to go someone really cheap in some of the other positions, because shooting guard might be a little bit hard to fill, but those two guys, they need to give you 45, 46 points again, which is possible, but it might not be the easiest situation for them both to do that. Gasol and Butler, that is. Timofey Mozgov at 4,500. I think I would rather Tristan Thompson. He seems to be trending towards more minutes, especially with Love out. I think Thompson will get more minutes. You can still get some big games from Mozgov, but to me, it's more of a tournament sort of situation. We saw Mike Miller get the start in the last game. He's priced at $2,000. He only played one game in the playoffs so far, and he got 11 points. If he gets 11 points at $2,000, it's still not enough. He needs to do more. He needs to do more than that at 2,000. I think maybe. Out of the $2,000 guys, him, James Jones, Kirk Heinrich, Nikola Mirotic, no, Mirotic at 2,000 is extremely enticing. But remember, he did nothing in game one. In a tournament, throw him in, because he might go out there and play 25 minutes and go massive. He's definitely got the most upside. But I think Mike Miller's going to play the most minutes out of these $2,000 guys. So he's worth considering in that sense. If he gets 11 points again at 2,000, it's doable, but I don't know if that's what he's going to get. It's a little bit risky. Now, Matthew Dellavedova got more minutes than him last time. He's priced at 2,500. So you're looking for him to get a 15 or 16 point game. That's going to be tough. I think maybe a tournament, but I think it's going to be tough for him to put up those sort of numbers. We're going to see Iman Shumpert relied upon heavily at 5,100. That's an okay sort of price point to use, and he's a nice shooting guard option. I think I would rather get him than, say, Dellavedova at 2,000. I know it's a big price difference, but Dellavedova at 2,500, you need him to give you a 15 or 16, and that might be a little bit tough for him. The second game of the night is the Clippers and the Rockets. We've got a much higher over-under in this game. The total is 213.5. The Rockets are favored by 6.5, and like the Cavs, they're going to want to bounce back from a really disappointing game one. Now, Chris Paul is considered questionable, and that changes the way we approach this from a daily fantasy point of view. If Paul plays, he's priced at 10,000. I don't know if I'd be using him at 10,000, to be honest. I don't know how fully fit he will be. But if he's out, Austin Rivers at 3,600, I'd definitely be playing Austin Rivers at 3,600 if Chris Paul is out. So that's almost a must play if Paul sits. Dwight Howard at 8,800, I think he's a great option. Blake Griffin at 11,400. I would rather play Blake Griffin at 11,400 than I would LeBron at 11,500. Griffin's averaging 57 throughout the playoffs. And especially if Chris Paul is out, I think that's almost a bargain at 11,400. James Harden would want to turn around from his first game, so at 10,000, I think he's an okay option. I still think at 10,000, though, I'd probably prefer Kyrie than James Harden. DeAndre Jordan at 8,700, that price has come down a little bit. He's only averaging 36.6. Well, not against you. I've been pretty much against using him most of the playoffs. I think the price has come down at $200 or $300 that I'm okay with using him at that price point. Josh Smith, Corey Brewer, they didn't do much in game one. I think Josh Smith at 6,200 is someone that I can get behind. Corey Brewer only for tournaments. Matt Barnes has had two strong games at 4,300. I'm happy to throw him out there again. Terrence Jones at 4,000. No, I don't think so. And neither JJ Redick at 5,000. I just don't feel like the scope for them to go big. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen very much. Jones hasn't really done much since about game one of the first series. He just hasn't put up much at all. And I know he's only priced at 4,000, and that's a great tournament price, but it's just not reliable enough for me for cash games. Now, Jason Terry and Pablo Prigioni are still priced at 3,000. They both had big game ones. I don't think we're going to expect them to have similar performances in game two. But again, a tournament at 3,000, I'd be happy putting, I'd put Terry in over Prigioni, but they both can put up some decent numbers. They're averaging both 13 points a game throughout the playoffs in their daily fantasy points. I would look to get one of them into a tournament lineup. So there is a few cheap options that are around for Wednesday's games. Trevor Ariza at 6,200 is probably too highly priced for my liking. And Jamal Crawford, if Chris Paul is out, at 5,100, he becomes someone of interest. If Paul plays, I want nothing to do with Jamal Crawford at 5,100. So it does depend a lot on if Chris Paul plays. If he doesn't, Austin Rivers again, 3,600. A massive, massive bargain there because... Look, he's not going to be probably as good as he was in the first game, but if he's going to go out there and play 30 minutes at 3,600, I think you pretty much have to use him at that price. And Blake Griffin becomes a huge bargain. Well, not a bargain. Becomes almost a must-play guy at 11,400 if Chris Paul is out. All right, that does it for today's podcast. There will be no podcast tomorrow because although there'll be these two games to talk about, there'll be no games to preview because there are no games on Thursday. So I won't have a podcast tomorrow, but it will be back the day after for Friday's game. So make sure you check out the podcast there. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Leave a ranking, leave a review. It helps the podcast come up in searches all over the place. So thank you to everyone who has done that so far. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.